Let's talk about prayer. And as we talk about prayer on this Palm Sunday, let's connect with God. This God who was our Creator, this God who continues to create with us, for we are part of God's creation, and we are part of God's creating energy right here and now. So let's talk about prayer, connecting with God in prayer. In order to lay the foundation for this, I want to simply share with you part of how my week has gone, because it's been a really intense week. And the week that lies ahead is going to be a really intense week. But inside of this, I want you to not hear that energy that is the negative. What I want you to hear is the power of it that is upholding me. And we'll see if it upholds you. It's not that our community or your life is involved a lot with death and dying this week, but mine has been. Earlier this week, my oldest aunt died. This was my most important aunt. She was 93. And Aunt Donna was my mother's only sister. Those two were thick as thieves. And it was a joy to be able to say, "Aunt Donna, it's time to go home." She was so ready. But getting out of the office, I had to push so hard on Tuesday and on Wednesday and on Thursday morning, trying to get all the details ready, and it was just such a stress to do that. And so I get up into North Dakota, heading up into Grand Forks. I get as far as my dad's place down by Valley City, and here comes North Dakota blizzard. And it just rolls across the entire state. I'll tell you the rest of the details at another time. But suffice it to say, I didn't make it to Donna's funeral. My brother did, though, and he held up his phone and Skyped me in. We watched the funeral on Skype. Next week is the first anniversary of the Ames Street fire. Ames Street was a house just a little way from here. And a year ago now, we lost five of our children inside of that, and I was up to my eyeballs. I was one of the chaplains that got called at 7 in the morning, and I was present, fully engaged in the funerals as they happened in that next week. And it just takes the legs out from under me to relive that grief. And yet, to know that God has been present through every step of the way. And now this week, we remember Dave as he passed away. Dave Bryniason. Too young, too soon. And again, I get my legs just taken right out from under me. And yet, there is a promise. And yet, there is something that upholds me, and this is the connection to prayer. This is the connection to God that says there will be some days when it is going to be sunshine and laughter, and there are going to be other days when it's darkness and tears. And the thing that rides in common with all of that is the very living power and presence of God. The very living power and presence of God. Jesus knew this. Jesus lived this. How did he do it? I want to tell you that there were five words that I would use of the process that brought Jesus into close connection. The first, these are all words that are C, and they're actually the words that are found in your GPS this week. The first that I would use is confide. Jesus confided in God. And even though God knows everything about us, even though God knows and we don't even have to speak, Jesus chose to speak it. He confided in God, this one who was his rock. Then Jesus composed himself in God. He centered himself. He calmed himself. So that he was ready, not just in the calm times, not just on the days of sunshine, but in the days of darkness. What I want you to see is Jesus was so prepared for what was to happen inside of this week that we call Holy Week, that was for him the week from hell. And he was prepared for it because he had put in a lifetime of prayer. He knew what it meant to withdraw, to go away into quietness and aloneness, to simply be present with God. He confided in God. He composed himself in God. And he claimed the covenant. You and I are surrounded by these ancient covenants, the covenant of Noah and the covenant of Moses and the covenant of Jeremiah, and God will be our God and we will be God's people. This covenant, Jesus claimed it, and then chose faithfulness. He didn't just choose faith, which is all on the inside. He chose faithfulness, exercising that faith. He chose to let his faith go out. And even inside of this week, we saw him teaching, preaching, healing. Confide in God. Compose yourself in God. Claim the covenant. Choose faithfulness and connect to God in prayer. Let me tell you more about this week, because we need to talk about prayer. Let's talk about prayer. It was all about connecting with God. And Jesus rode in on Palm Sunday. Now, I don't know if you were aware of this, but I love this fact. On that day when Jesus paraded into Jerusalem, he was making a statement. There were two parades. The other parade was the parade that happens every year in Jerusalem during Passover. The Romans were not going to tolerate any uprising, any rebellion, and they did that. They made sure that that happened by bringing in extra soldiers. And so on this day, in that celebration of Passover, there was an entire Roman contingent that came in the other side of Jerusalem. They did this every year in a show of force to say, you can have your celebration, but you better darn well mind your manners. And Jesus, on the other side of town, came in on a donkey. Do you see the statement that he was making? Jesus never rode a donkey. There's only one time in all of his ministry where we hear about him riding anything. It was this. This was extremely intentional. He went out and found a donkey. And the disciples brought it to him and he got on. If I were to get on that same donkey, my toes would touch the ground. A donkey was a very small beast of burden. It was a very small working animal. And the two parades came in at the same time. The might of the Roman military and whoever this guy was riding on a donkey. And the people cheered and they cheered, but he wasn't the savior that they were expecting. They wanted another general. They wanted another soldier coming in on a white stallion or in a chariot in order to free them from the Roman government. No. That's not what they got. And so here was Sunday. And Jesus went to the temple and then returned outside of town. And on Monday he taught, and on Tuesday he taught, and on Wednesday, and on Thursday. And on Thursday he went with his disciples to the upper room, and they in that small group celebrated the Passover meal. On Palm Sunday, Jesus rode into town in broad daylight, in celebration with everybody loving the idea of who he might be. But on Thursday, after they had finished their meal together, he left with most of his disciples, not Judas. He left with most of his disciples, and together in absolute darkness, they walked through the streets of Jerusalem, out the city gates, out to the Garden of Gethsemane, which was an olive grove. And there Jesus went to pray. And there Jesus went to pray. It was incredibly crucial for him to connect with God at all points in prayer. You remember what he prayed? You know, we heard John read, or we heard those words read, but we didn't hear the depth of that. And Jesus knelt and he prayed these words. He said, Daddy. He used the intimate form. In Aramaic, it's Abba. Abba, don't let this happen. What we would pray is Daddy. He used this intimate form and name of God. I don't want this to happen. If there's any way that this cannot happen, please, please let this cup pass from me. Don't let this happen. Jesus was scared, literally scared to death. Now, when I was a kid and when I was growing up as a teenager, I was assumed that Jesus knew exactly what was coming. Oh, look, it's 11:57 and here come the soldiers right on cue. And I was assumed that he knew exactly what he was going to have to go through. So therefore, it was no big deal. Yeah. You know, just get me through this and then I'll rise in 3 days. No, Jesus was completely human. Human and divine, and that human part of him was scared to death, literally. In another version of the gospel, it says he sweat blood. I mean, that's how intense this was. And he prayed, if there's any way that this can pass from me, don't let this happen. I want you to see that this was an ongoing process. I want you to see that Jesus didn't know what exactly the next step was going to be. Oh, he had a pretty good clue about how it was going to turn out. He knew the Romans and he knew the Jewish leadership. He knew how this was going to turn out. But it was at that moment when he said, I'm scared. And then said these words, but not my will, not what I want, but your will. Whatever it is that you want, help me. Now, in order to understand this better, I want to take you back into the very first book of our Bible, into the book of Genesis, onto the very first page. There are two creation stories in our Bible. The first one is the oldest one. The second one is the newer. The second one is all about the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. But the first one is this beautiful poem. When we look at it in English, we see that it's all in prose. But if you were to go look at this in Hebrew, what you would see is that it is a poem. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God created the waters. And God created the earth. And God created grass and trees and flowers and said, that's good. And God created birds and God created fish and stepped back and said, that's good. And God created the animals and said, that's good. And then God created humanity and stepped back and said, that's very good. But here's what I want you to see. Inside of that, the living things that God created had the ability to recreate themselves. Grass produces more grass, and flowers make more flowers, and trees make more trees. Birds and animals and fish make more birds and animals and fish, and humans make more humans. The act of creation is not finished. The act of creation has been going on since the beginning or before the beginning of time. The universe is still expanding. Creation is still happening today. And you and I are part of that creative process. I want you to see where we're going with prayer. When we communicate with God, when we are in touch with God, when we connect, we are literally connecting with the creative energy of this universe. This creative energy that is still happening. You want to see proof of that? Go introduce yourself to Olivia. This beautiful little 10-month-old, this is a miracle in front of your very eyes. Life continues and creation continues. And we are a part of that. You and I are a part of that. And what that means is that connecting to God in prayer is all about being open. You know, when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, what he was saying to God was, I don't want to do this, but I'm just going to have to be open to whatever you've got. I don't know how this is going to turn out exactly, but let's do it. And it was that process. You and I are part of the creation process inside of our world. You and I are examples of that energy that is God, living and present on the face of this planet. So let's talk about prayer and connecting to God in prayer. What is prayer? I don't know. I don't know how it works. How many times have I spent with you, your friends, your family, in the emergency room up at the hospital, or out on the floor, up at Dorset, or up at Edgewood, out inside of our community? How many times have I spent with you and we've said, and we've held hands and we have prayed for that healing power and presence of God, and it didn't turn out well? And yet, how many times have I spent with you in the emergency room, out on the floor at Dorset, Edgewood, and around in our community, and we have held hands and we've prayed, dear God, we pray for healing and we pray for things to turn out, and they turn out. I don't have an explanation why that is. But here's what I experience when I'm out there. A lot of times people will say, if things don't go well, I prayed and I prayed, but the worst still happened. The bottom still fell out. Therefore, there is no God. Or if there is a God, that God certainly doesn't care for me. But what I've also seen is that there are times when we pray, and even when things don't turn out the way that we want them to, that we are still able to say there is a God, and that God literally walks with me through the valley of the shadow of death. There is a God that walks with me hand in hand. There is a God that gives me the power and the presence and the ability, to confide in God, to compose ourselves in God, seeking centering and calmness, to claim the covenants that are around us, to choose faithfulness, and to connect to God in prayer. This is the story of Holy Week. This is the story of Palm Sunday. This is the story of Jesus in the temple. This is the story of Jesus at Gethsemane. In the happiest moments, and when the bottom falls out, God walks with Jesus hand in hand. And on the cross, Jesus literally prayed from the book of Psalms, my God, why have you forsaken me? It hurt. And yet, there was God. It wasn't a God that abandoned him. It was a God that walked with him through it all. This is what we give thanks to God for today. We give thanks to God for walking with us. May it be that you walk with God, connecting with God, on the days that are sunny and wonderful, and on the days that are dark and it's so hard. God walks with you hand in hand, exactly as he did with Jesus. So may he with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Would you pray with me? Lord of love and Lord of life, we want to give thanks for your presence in our lives. We want to give thanks for the fact that you walk with us in the darkest of times. We want to give thanks that even when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you're right there. So, Lord, walk with us on the bright and happy days and on the dark and sad days. Lord, walk with us. We claim your covenant. We claim your presence. We claim your promise. In Christ's name, amen.